Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can always go to purdyinsurance.com. Coming up tomorrow, Rich Scarcella, the Reading Eagle, Tony Mancuso from Penn State. Coming up Wednesday, Adam Rittenberg from ESPN. We bring in, ladies and gentlemen, the dynamic duo, Batman and Robin themselves.
Can I be Batman? I've always wanted to be Batman. Can I be Batman?
You can.
Kevin Herr and Bob Buhner.
Hey, Steve, how was your weekend?
Exciting and dynamic.
Other than that, how was the turkey?
Well, I thought the two of you looked good.
Oh, thanks. That was Friday.
The two of you are looking over like, why do we throw out these lines?
Yes.
Why do we throw out these lines?
We set them up and you hit them over the net.
Okay, now, again, our guest, Rich Scarcella, tomorrow, Reading Eagle. We'll follow that up with Tony Mancuso, Penn State, tomorrow. And then Wednesday, Adam Rittenberg from ESPN.com. Not a bad lineup to get things rolling this week. Then we'll have somebody from women's volleyball, Kristen Carpenter, one of the women's volleyball players. They start NCAA play this weekend. And we'll have one of the players from Penn State women's soccer from the College Cup. They're in the Final Four.
Pretty impressive.
They played, what was it, Duke Friday night?
Beat Duke 1-0. Yeah. Christine Nairn scored on a penalty kick.
Wow. That's a way to win a game.
I mean, you know, and it's just very impressive, I mean, how they won. I think she scored in the first half. Scored in the first half on a direct kick.
And you'll be happy to know later this week I'm working on Jim Kaiser from the Danville Ironmen in the state tournament as well. And we'll also try and get on Dave Hess of the Sealands Grove Seals moving on in the tournament against Allentown Central Catholic this weekend.
Why do you sound like we're in some backroom meeting with Al Capone?
I must be it's the head cold. I'm a little nasally yet.
Really? I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's better than it was last week.
Well, why don't you get yourself a shot of something? And time now for Above the Noise. Here is Sir Daniel of Patrick. Bob, I want to tell you, I think you sound great today.
Oh, thank you. I'm not too hoarse from the Bucknell basketball game because I didn't get to do a lot of cheering for the Bison as it turned out.
Well,
so I saved my voice.
To be honest with you, when the game was just 6 at halftime and Penn State had shot 16%,
you had Dick to know.
Dick and I both looked at each other and said, you know what? On the Bucknell side of things, that's not comfortable. Because, I mean, this was a case where, you know, I know I'm doing a Penn State broadcast, but I was very, very aware of making sure that the Bucknell part was well taken care of because I was very aware of my audience here every day and of Dave, whom I like very, very much.
Yeah.
So I tried to be as even-handed as possible in this thing.
And you're right, that halftime when it was only a 22-16 lead, I thought it should be much more if you're Bucknell.
Yeah.
And you've got to be smiling in the Penn State locker room if you get a few rolls, which is what happened in the second half. Shoot a few threes that drop, it becomes a very competitive game.
Yeah, normally you're going to hit a few more on your end when your offense is in front of you, normally.
Yeah.
Well, Dave Paulson joins us on the line now. Dave, when you look at Friday night, you're up 6 at the half, but you played great defense, and they only shot 16%. How uneasy was it knowing you held the team to 16% and only had a 6-point lead?
Well, it was uneasy because you knew Penn State's a good team, and they're gonna, you know, they're gonna bounce back. And you know, we didn't shoot the ball well, and again, you got to give a lot of credit to Penn State's defense. But we turned it over 12 times in the first half, Steve, and we gave them 10 offensive rebounds in the first half, and you know, if we had just, I told our guys, if you just cut the turnovers in half and we just shoot the ball six extra times in that half and still only shoot 39%, we've got two more buckets. We got four more points, and now you're up 26-16 or, you know, something like that. So we just felt like we had way too many empty possessions on the offensive end and really dug ourselves a hole.
Was Mike Muscala bumped up at all?
Yeah, Mike's been nagged a little bit, a little foot injury, and had practiced a couple days beforehand. But again, that, you know, that's part of the game. And you know, I don't think Mike played as well as he could have played. But I think that we didn't do a good enough job getting him the ball. I don't think he did a good enough job because of his lack of leverage with his foot. He didn't hold his position in the post as well as he could have. But you got to give a lot of credit to Penn State, and they brought different guys and double teamed them, and it was uncharacteristic for Mike. He came unglued a couple times against the double teams, and that's not normally how he plays.
Well, even Kentucky, as great as they were last year, did not go through undefeated. That hasn't happened since Indiana in 1976. One thing in college basketball that everybody has to learn is how to bounce back from something like that. So what's the message of your team on this Monday in their bounce back mode?
Well, you know, we get our guys Saturday off, and the message on Sunday in our film was, even as well as we played defensively in the first half, you know, we didn't play well defensively in the second half, and we're going to hang our hat on our defense and our rebounding and our toughness. And that was the emphasis yesterday. And then today we had film sessions with our guys. We're looking at our offensive execution, and we're not a team that is going to necessarily fast break and play at an extremely high pace, but we have to make our cuts and our screens and our reads at a faster pace in our half-court offense. That's why we're really, really stagnant. So yesterday was more really focusing on our defense and our finishing plays. You know, Penn State must have scored three or four baskets with 2 seconds or less on the shot clock. It's just kind of finishing out of possession. And then today we're really going to work on our offensive execution.
Right. Cameron Ayers, what kind of game did he give you on Friday night?
Well, I think it was a little bit of tale of two halves for Cam. You know, I thought he was the thing about Cam is he blends in exceptionally well. He's a smart player. You know, he's not necessarily going to rock the boat. But we want him to rock the boat a little bit more. And in the first half, you know, he wasn't as aggressive as he might have been. And then, in the second half, I thought he played better. But, you know, for us to be the type of team that we think we can be and the type of team we want to be, he's got to give us that kind of half in both halves.
Yeah, no question about that. You've got Dartmouth tomorrow night. And then you keep the Ivy League thing going Saturday with Columbia. What kind of read do you have on Dartmouth right now?
Well, Dartmouth is, you know, they're a young team. They've got some talent kids. They've got 3 sophomores, 2 freshmen. They're a dangerous team in the fact that they're playing faster than they have. They spread the floor. They shoot a lot of threes. You know, they've been inconsistent, quite frankly, in their ability to shoot the ball. But, you know, it's a dangerous team. They have nothing to lose kind of coming in here, and, you know, they're going to play free and easy. You know, we struggled with them last year. We were down at the half and then kind of warmed down and won by 8 or 10 on the road last year. So it's going to be a challenge. And, you know, on our guys, it's such a subtle thing, confidence. And, you know, one, you know, bad performance, you know, our guys were a little not as much spring in their steps yesterday as we'd like. We practiced here in a couple hours. But we got to get more back to just being us and playing our basketball and you know, kind of putting that Penn State loss behind us.
Academics are really important. You're coming up on the doorstep of finals. Give me an idea from a coach's point of view, making sure they have both balanced at this stage and how fatiguing both can be.
Well, you know, it really is. It's a real subtle balance, and sometimes, you know, you forget about it. Thank God I'm still not in school, you know. And
you and me both, Dave. Yeah.
And you know, we gave our guys Saturday off, and Sunday we came in for practice, and I'm like, And I know a number of guys were really hungry and angry about the loss, and they'd gotten some extra work in on Saturday or Sunday before practice, and kind of went around the room, you know, who did some extra work. And one guy's eyes were just like almost shut. I go, for 2 days, all you did was study? He goes, Coach, for 2 days, all I did was study. And I said, all right, I guess I really can't argue with that.
Yeah,
and
you can't.
You know, to some degree, we've got this game with Dartmouth. We go to Columbia. We have a very good Kent State team coming back next Tuesday. We just kind of have to get through this, kind of weather the storm, hopefully play well, get some guys healthy, and get into that exams. And then, you know, a lot of times after they get done with exams, that's when you can really, you know, spend a little extra time with a kid, maybe on the court, before, after practice, or watching film, or things like that. So it is a tough balancing act, and I think a lot of us adults forget how challenging it is.
It's your seventh game, but only your second in Soika. What's it going to be like just to be back in there for the kids?
I think it's going to be great. I think hopefully we'll get a good crowd. You know, again, we really have played a very, very challenging schedule, and you know, I think we've really focused on defending these teams from the Big Ten and, you know, the Colonial League and some of the teams we've played. I think we've done a good job with that, but we haven't quite yet found our offensive rhythm. So playing at home certainly should be a good solution, you know, for part of that.
Dave, it was great seeing you the other night, and thanks, as always, for the time you give us, and I can't wait to talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, Steve.
All right, Dave Paulson doing a great job as the head basketball coach at Bucknell, and I'm sorry about the academic question. I know that threw Kevin off.
You know, I think this loss is really going to come back and help Bucknell in the longer run. I think they can earn an awful lot from Friday afternoon's game.
Well, you know what? My point is everybody in college basketball loses.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody does. I mean, we haven't had an undefeated team in college basketball since Indiana in 1976. I mean, even Kentucky lost twice last year, including the championship game to my good friend Kevin Stallings in Vanderbilt in the SEC title game. And, I had a long talk with Kevin about that. Man, you know, we're going to have to get Kevin on the show here one of these times. He's one of the great guys going. You
basketball,
guys abandoned me?
No, basketball seems to be a sport with lots of great coaches. No question.
And he's one, and Kevin's one of them. His son played here with the State College Spikes this summer as a catcher, Jacob Stallings. That's why I saw it. You know, that's why you develop friendships and the whole thing. And Kevin hates my cell phone.
Because it goes off frequently?
No, he hates it because of all the names in it.
I can relate to that.
You hate that, don't you?
Yes.
You don't like my Rolodex, do you?
Listen, I look through my Rolodex. It has Steve Jones on it, and that's about it. And then he never answers. But that's a whole different problem.
No, not for me. No. I don't see that as a problem at all.
That's
no,
because it has a...
Have you noticed, Bob, I answer you frequently?
Yes, it is profound in that regard, because I'm looking right at Kevin here, and he's just shaking his head.
All right, we got to get to the NFL. You know, Confucius says it is very hard to win with 8 turnovers.
I wondered how long it would take you to get to that.
And once again, Confucius is correct.
Yes.
And we'll talk about Nittany Lion football, a great finish on Saturday, along with free agency.
Yes.
It's back.
I'll bet it is.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Howdy ho.
Heidi ho.
I knew that would catch his attention. I was just trying to wake him up.
It worked.
I get a note from Roger all the time. Says whatever you do, wake him up.
Actually, you misread it. It said, don't wake him up.
Actually, you're correct.
I just want to say it's very entertaining to be back hanging out with you again. And Friday was great. Being able to see the basketball game and kind of seeing everything as it all gets set up. And actually watching a basketball game just to watch it, that was a nice difference for me all by itself.
Yeah, it was great for me. You were on the other side of the court.
Yeah, I knew you'd like that.
Steve, it was awfully good of you to find some seats for Kevin that were above the area that's blocked out in the Bryce Jordan, so he had a ringside seat from the pigeon seats of the Bryce Jordan Arena.
Now, where were you seated anyway?
Where was it?
110.
Was it 110?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right by the concession stand.
Oh, you're good. Those are good seats.
Yeah.
Oh, those are good seats.
I was happy with that. I wasn't complaining a bit.
Jordan Hill, Sam Ficken. Big Ten Players of the Week, Ficken Special Teams Player of the Week, Hill Defensive Player of the Week. The All-Big Ten team is announced tonight. I voted yesterday. I voted yesterday for it. I'm not supposed to reveal my vote.
Via sealed ballot, yeah.
No, I'm not allowed to reveal how I voted.
How many voters are there in that ballot, Steve?
28.
Listen, I have to ask the question that I was asked about four times in the last 3 days, and that is there any truth to the ongoing story about Bill O'Brien being looked at by the NFL and a possibility that he may not be coaching next year?
Well, first of all, he should be, a candidate for somebody. He should
be. I agree.
He should at least be asked. I mean, number one, you have a guy that's been an NFL offensive coordinator who has shown what he can do in the NFL, now has head coaching experience on top of that. So, I mean, those are all pluses, and he's been successful with it. So he should be looked at. But you know what he's doing right now, don't you? He's recruiting.
I would hope so, yeah.
Sounds to me like he was working here.
I wondered if there was more to this story, if it was another one of, as you like to say, the TMZ style.
Well, no, his name is going to be mentioned. I mean, you can't have the success he's had in the NFL being an offensive coordinator that's coached in Super Bowls, for goodness sakes, with a top-flight organization like the Patriots, and then showing in his rookie year as a head coach, he can be a really good head coach.
He certainly came out from the shadows.
Right. I mean, Randy in Sealands Grove, welcome. It's great to have you in the Lenape Solar Hotline.
Yeah, Steve, great show. I just want to change the subject a little bit about high school football and the Sealands Grove Seals.
Yeah, please.
Okay, well, the boys played one heck of a game out there at Altoona. And I just want to know, how does the PIAA figure District 4 goes out to Altoona, plays a Pittsburgh team, and we were supposed to host it, and now Friday night we have to go to Bethlehem?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'll be honest with you, Randy. I think that's a raw deal on the Bethlehem part, but I can kind of give you a little insight the way I understand it. You're right. It was supposed to be District 4 hosting this year because last year Shamokin went out into the west side. Mm-hmm. It had to do with the way I think it's 6, 4, and
8.
Yeah, the way that District 6, 4, and 8 had their joint tournament, we'll call it. It ended up putting a Pittsburgh team in the East because of the fact that they beat Clearfield. So I know it makes no sense whatsoever, but it's because of the amount of AAA schools they have. They had to combine all three of these districts into one, we'll call it sub-regional.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. I can understand why they would want to play the game in Altoona this past week, because that, I thought, was a fair in-between type of site. However,
wasn't there a site in between?
What's
you
that?
Know, like, you know, they traveled an hour, and we went 2.5 hours. You know,
I think
wasn't
that's
something in between.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best venue, though, as far as handling what the media would like and what the teams need, and the amount of people that would theoretically be at a game like that.
I think Beaver Stadium was taken on Saturday too.
Yeah, Beaver Stadium was taken. We went past there on the way up and back.
Yeah,
Right.
So that would be a nice meeting ground, but I think something happened Saturday afternoon that tied up. I don't know if the rodeo was in town or what.
Well, the big problem, I agree with you, the fact that Selins Grove has to go to Bethlehem to take on Allentown Central Catholic basically in their backyard.
Backyard, yes.
I do not see that as being a neutral site in the middle. And it's funny because we talked about this weekend as well. I argued the same thing in March when Shikellamy traveled against Allentown Central Catholic in the basketball playoffs, that they had to go to Allentown to play that game, and they couldn't find a place like Pottsville, for instance, to play that game.
Yeah, so, I believe in 2009 we played Archbishop Wood. Instead of making them come all the way up with us, we met them in Hershey.
I thought that's where the location would be this year, would be Hershey. I felt that was a more neutral site.
But does the district, what is it, 6 down there?
I think it's 11.
11. Well, do they pick the site? I mean, how does it?
The PIAA picks it. Out of Mechanicsburg.
And they pick the best facilities. I understand they probably went turf and they went a lot of seats. And
yeah, that's what a lot of it is. They know that this game's going to draw a lot of interest, so they want a lot of seats. They want to make sure that it has certain things that media has asked for over the years, and radio being one of those. I mean, we've had a big part in, and I've had a big part in discussing with the PIAA what we would like to see in a media area in a stadium so that we can broadcast a game properly. So that has a lot to do with it as well. But I agree with your assessment that I think a lot of this has to do with being able to have a site that no matter what the weather conditions are, it's not a problem.
Yeah,
and the turf will do that.
Right. Now Altoona's Mansion Park and Altoona's turf.
It's really nice.
It's a gorgeous facility. I've been to Mansion Park many, many times, and it's a gorgeous facility. So I think a lot of it has to do with, you know what? I mean, look at tonight. Tonight they're talking about 1 to 2 inches of snow. I mean, Kevin's kidding me. I actually have to do some work.
That'll be a first.
Oh, my goodness, watching him playing with his whatever the heck it was the other day. What was he on, an iPhone?
He was on his phone, yeah.
I mean, he's like, I looked up at one point, Daniel, he goes, oh. Okay, I figured that was it for that.
We had to go in 2009 out of Johnstown, too.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, and say, yeah, like Point Stadium. You go out to Point Stadium in Johnstown. It's snowing. The game's a mess.
Yeah.
You played, so that's why I think they're trying to pick as many turf services as possible. State College has hosted a few of these.
But the boys really did put on a heck of a game. I mean, they really shut down that passing attack of Pittsburgh.
You're absolutely right, Randy. That was an outstanding defensive showing. Big turnovers in that game. I'll tell you what. I think that this Selins Grove team is really starting to gel now, maybe better than they did in the middle part of the season when they developed a passing game offensively. And I saw them against Shikellamy, and that was one of the things we talked about in the pregame, is the team that learns to throw the ball wins this game. I think Selins Grove really developed a good passing game in that game, but I think as a team, as a whole, offensively and defensively, in the last 3 weeks, they have progressed just so much further.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Randy, let me tell you one quick thing about location, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The biggest part that concerns me is it's a big pain in the neck for you, the fans, to get to all these different locations, okay?
Yeah, 7 o'clock Friday night at Bethlehem.
Exactly. But you know what? When it comes to playing the game, I always have a simple theory, Randy. It doesn't matter where you play it. If you're good, you're good.
Oh, we'll play them. That's no problem.
If you're good, you're good. It doesn't matter where you play them.
They'll be there and they'll play them. Yep. Okay, well, I was just wondering how it worked out, because we're going to be traveling quite a bit this week. Football game.
I think you can deduct it off your taxes, too, as a mileage expense.
Randy, do not listen to Timothy Geithner over here.
Right. You know anything about Allentown Central Catholic? They look big. I mean, I've seen on TV.
I know they, and I can't remember his name right now, but I know they have a really good running back who's averaging about 5 yards a carry here in the playoffs. Their defense has played very well. They've given up 6 points through the entire tournament. It's a team that came into the district tournament not a number one seed. They were about 500 coming in. Now, they play a lot of good schools through their season, but they came into the district about 500. But the running back has been their key. He's been averaging 200 yards a game in the playoffs, and he's been the reason that they've been able to dominate on the offensive side of the ball. And, of course, when you're doing that, when your offense is on the field eating up a lot of time, the defense doesn't have a whole lot of work to do.
Hey, Randy, one more thing. When you go down to Bethlehem, what you're going to find is that Allentown Central Catholic does not have a huge fan base. there might well be more Selins Grove folks in the stands than there will be Allentown Central Catholic fans.
That's true.
I would believe that. I mean, our Saturday out there at Altoona, the Pittsburgh people weren't there.
Well, that University Park is like a high school of 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
It has a long tradition. You know, it doesn't have a home base like Selins Grove does, and a great following and a tradition like Selins Grove.
We're kind of like Penn State. We travel well.
Oh, exactly right. Exactly right.
Okay,
you know,
well,
it's not like watching Indiana travel in football. I mean, they're all like feel like they're in the witness protection program.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks a lot, and I say go Seals.
All right. That's great, Randy. Appreciate the call. Best of luck to Selins Grove coming up this weekend.
They are hitting full stride at the right time.
They are indeed. And Kevin was going to give us the projections through 2018 on the playoffs.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to do that right now. My history has not been the best.
I feel like I'm at the Chop House in Chicago. Do you know why?
Why? I don't understand.
Because
this.
That's where Al Capone used to hang out. You sound just like him.
There you go. I'm trying to find the young
back.
Man.
Great to have you with us.
I'm trying to find the young
Hollywood.
Man's name. Because that really bothers Hollywood. That's right. I'm trying to find the young man's name from Allentown Central Catholic. And I can't. It's driving me crazy right now. I'll figure it out.
I can, but I'm not allowed to say it.
Right, I know. I knew you were sitting there with the name on the tip of your tongue, but you can't say it.
I can't say it because it's a recruiting violation.
And Danville has to play while missing Friday night down at, or Saturday, I think it is, at Hershey Park as well. And I know there's a name you can't say, Steve, but this Anzalone boy who's going to Notre Dame will be on the other side of the field from the Ironman. Mm-hmm. Sounds like a pretty formidable guy for the Ironman. They're going to have to address him big time. So we'll see what happens. But two local teams still in the playoffs.
Yeah. Let's talk about Notre Dame for a moment. You brought up Notre Dame. Let's talk about that. I'm getting sick and tired of hearing people say Notre Dame doesn't belong in the championship game. Not good enough. Excuse me. They played the 14th best schedule in the country. Their defense is outstanding. Now they're playing just well enough offensively. I like that. I like the tight end Eilert a lot. And guess what? They should be in the championship game. And I am not of the belief, and I am not of the school that no matter which SEC team wins, they'll blow Notre Dame out. I think Notre Dame's going to win.
Gets
either one of them.
The Irish have really earned a right to be number one this season. I don't think there's any question about it. Even the most biased fans would have to admit they've done well.
They played the 14th best schedule in the country statistically, right? They're undefeated. Alabama, which is a great team, by the way, played the 26th best schedule in the country. You know what Georgia's rank is schedule-wise statistically?
Not very high. Am I
60.
Wrong? Okay.
60. All right? Okay, Notre Dame in a lot of ways has played better competition. Believe me, beating Stanford's a big deal.
It is.
Stanford's a good football team that plays good, hard-nosed, solid football and plays really the same style offensively as Alabama does. Alabama is not a wild spread option, you know, quarterback draw. No. That's not how they play. They may line up in the shotgun, but they're very conventional offensively, the same way Notre Dame is.
And very physically tough.
Yeah, and Everett Golson's getting better all the time. And I'm sick and tired of this prevailing, this is not the Notre Dame of 5 years ago that had no team speed on defense. They have a defense. Everybody in that defense can run. Manti Te'o can run. All the other guys around them, I mean, they had safeties. They had, you know, secondary help they had to replace this year. Notre Dame's a good football team. And I'm sick and tired of this, it's the SEC. You know, roll them. It's just no comment. They're just so much faster. Blah, 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 blah. Enough's enough. Notre Dame's, I think, better than either one of those two teams.
So it's going to be Georgia and Alabama and the winner on to play the Fighting Irish.
Right. Exactly.
Pretty straightforward this year.
Right. I mean, Notre Dame, their game with USC essentially was a semifinal game. The SEC championship game is essentially a semifinal playoff game. Well, more people are going to watch that because it's a game with stakes where you know the winner is going to get the shot.
You know what game interests me with the projections of bowls is the possibility of the Fiesta Bowl with Kansas State and Oregon. for some reason, that game just entices me a little bit.
Okay,
crickets. Well, I mean, I that's just a little offense is probably going to be expected in that game, don't you think?
Yeah, but you know what? After watching Kansas State play defense against Baylor, do you really think it's going to be that good of a game?
Oh, I don't think that's what I said. I don't think there's going to be much defense in the game. I'm interested and intrigued by the offense.
If you love track meets, that's the game you want to watch, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like 55-31.
That's the halftime score.
I mean, in the end, it's still a 24-point spread.
That's a lot of Tostitos.
That's 24 points. You know what? Watching Oregon play football, I find to be boring.
Yeah, you said that, and I made it a point the other night to actually watch that game, and I don't know. I didn't find it that boring. Why is it boring?
It's just go, 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 go. Look, I mean, it's like watching a game on steroids.
Well, but maybe I guess it's because I'm used to seeing that in FCS football now. I see that every week where that no-huddle, you know, up-tempo style.
Well, Stanford stopped it.
That
and,
they did.
And again,
convincingly.
When Oregon has stumbled, right, it's when their great offense is controlled and their defense is not good enough to keep them in games. That's not a championship defense. You have to win a game somewhere with your defense. You have to win a game somewhere with your special teams if you're going to be a great team. They didn't win any games this year with their defense, and they didn't win any games this year with their special teams. In fact, their place kicker is not very good at all. Okay? Not very good. And I want to say this. All right? After the Virginia game, I told the story about Sam Ficken and Massimo Manca. Massimo Manca was a freshman when Nick Gancitano got hurt in 82, so Massimo had to kick. Well, the great Nebraska game that lives on forever, it may be the single best game ever played in Beaver Stadium. Penn State, of course, won the game with the 65-yard drive, the Mike McCloskey catch, and then the Kirk Bowman catch in the end zone, right? What is lost in that game is how incredibly dominant Penn State was that day against Nebraska, because Massimo Manca that day missed 4 field goals. And what people forget is that on the Kirk Bowman touchdown, Manca missed the extra point. All right? Manca, Nick Gancitano eventually comes back. He kicks the rest away. Manca goes on to become one of the great kickers in Penn State history. And my point was, look, don't take one day and let you judge. You need a full body of work before you start to get a sense of what you really have. I think everyone has a better sense of what they really have in Sam Ficken 9 weeks later. Today's show being brought to you by... I'm the only one in the show that seems to know the format. Kevin, I mean, I'm trying to get Purdy Insurance in here. I mean, you know, the salesperson in charge of that account should be thrilled because I love Purdy, okay? I think the Purdys are the greatest people going. I love playing in the golf tournament. They're generous. They give back, and not only that, they have great insurance. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You just don't think about insurance. You buy a home, you take out a policy, and you forget about it until something happens and you need it. Then you think about insurance a lot. My agent recommended insurance from Selective. Insurance for our home and property, jewelry, even the food in our refrigerator. Selective thinks about everything, so I don't have to.
Selective. Response is everything. Get to know us at Selective.com.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at PurdyInsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Come on, Kevin, crank it up.
That's me on the guitar.
8 turnovers. 8 turnovers.
Yeah, well, when all 4 of your running backs fumble, I mean, when you try one running back, he fumbles, and you go to the next one, he fumbles. They ran through the entire depth chart before they found, well, actually, they didn't find anybody who couldn't fumble the ball at running back.
Well, it should be pointed out, Charlie Batch, it's not completely his fault, but it also is partially his fault.
Oh.
Because he threw 3 interceptions. But again, when everything is dink and dunk and you need people to make yards after the catch all the time and you can't stretch the field, it comes back to who you are. And he doesn't have the arm strength that he had at one point in his life. He can't. He's 37.
Well, that showed in the last series, Steve. I mean, he checked down on both pass plays in the last series because he couldn't go that far downfield where they were open.
And on top of it, now, Brian Hoyer's been signed. Now, the problem with Brian Hoyer is that Brian Hoyer doesn't know the system yet. Todd Haley's system takes a while to get used to. I mean, he's got to get used to it. So they can't just magically wave a wand on Brian Hoyer and say, go ahead, you have the stronger arm and feet, go ahead and play. Can't do it. You know, he can only do it in a mop-up role at some point with base plays.
Ben says, though, he wants to play and will get himself ready if he can be medically cleared to play. Right. Will play on Sunday.
Right. I understand that.
I don't know
surprised.
That that's possible.
You know how the Steelers got Brian Hoyer?
How?
Player personnel director called Bill O'Brien himself, wanted to know about him. Because Bill coached him in New England. Bill recommended him because the choice was between Brian Hoyer and Mike Kafka.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be a long game Sunday.
It's already a long show. All right. Second hour coming up.